The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Jack Rivkin is in studio with me, Chief Investment Officer at Altegris Investments. Jack, you have your foot in so many worlds, and one of them, of course, very much in tech and clean tech because you sit on the board of directors of Idea Lab. Now you're the Chief Investment Officer of Altegris. I know your portfolio is big as it ever was, but you're still keeping a very close eye on tech.
Very much so. And interestingly enough, Altegris had a big conference last week, their strategic investment conference, and it was all about transformation, which got us into technology. So we had people like Dave Rosenberg, Lacey Hunt, Paul McCauley talking about the economy, but they were putting it into the context of the future and how important transformation in technology is to that happening. And it just brought to mind to me that in looking back at the last month or so of what was the most important thing that happened out there, I could say it was the agreement by Apple and Google to settle their patent dispute. Now, wow, that may sound strange, but I relate this to, this goes way back when, but I relate it to Texas Instruments and Fairchild Instruments actually setting their patent dispute over integrated circuits, and what an explosion that caused in innovation and transformation from that period. And given that we're talking about cell phones, mobile, as being the growth element here, Apple and Google getting closer to settling their dispute. They're not cross-licensing yet, but I think it sets a tone where we're going to see more and more of this. These guys are beginning to realize that they can make more money about innovation than they can simply protecting what they've already got.
Well, and of course, haven't both of them bought up a lot of patents to kind of sit on them even sometimes and not let the competition get them?
Well, that seemed to be the initial thrust. Google and Motorola, that's really where this patent dispute came from. But I think they're beginning to realize, much as it took 7 years for Fairchild and Texas Instruments to come to an agreement after Noyce and Kilby had filed their patents in the area. And I think the same thing is happening here. They're beginning to realize that things are moving so quickly that to be isolated from what someone else has developed and incorporating that as a scientific effect in something that takes us another step ahead is more valuable than simply protecting what you've got.
Just a quick comment. We had a guest on talking about patent trolls, and there are these companies basically that they take out a broad patent, and then if someone comes up with a specific patent, they try to make them pay them fees or somehow share in the potential profit of their invention, and actually some proposed legislation in Congress to monitor that more closely and make sure that people file legitimate patent disputes and are not just clever ways to make money off of somebody else's idea.
Well, I think that is happening. The truth is, I think it's been happening since the patent office first opened. So this is not unusual that people are looking to create something around which there's value. And particularly these days, to have a patent is one thing. To develop that patent, to turn that patent into something that is actually creating value, costs money. Okay. And you can be a clever person and create a patent, but you need someone else to develop it. And I think that's a lot of what's going on here.
From a micro tech story to a macro Fed story, Jack, you think that rates are going to rise sooner than the markets are indicating. It seems to me your case is a little bit harder to make lately because the numbers have been a bit mixed on the economy. Why do you think that?
Well, I think ultimately the Fed will react to a combination of what happens in the employment sector and what happens with inflation. And I think those are combined. We are starting to see some good employment numbers. The 288,000 was a very big number. People say that was some payback for having it been worse. Yes, but you look at the states that had the biggest increase in employment, it was Texas, California, and Florida. That wasn't weather related. We're seeing some things beginning to happen on the labor front. We're starting to see wages begin to increase. That ultimately turns into companies raising prices, or if they don't raise prices, it affects margins.
But tough thing for the Fed is that you're also seeing the housing recovery. As many people, there have been people all through the latter half of last year who said this housing recovery is not solid. It has holes, and now those holes are starting to emerge, some would say.
We're seeing little signs, little tulips bursting forth here. And I think we're going to quickly see the Fed, if not the Fed, the market first will react to wages going up, the ultimate possibility
of inflation. Can the Fed afford to start move more quickly if the housing market already is tough for first-time homebuyers, a lot of people having a tough time getting in? If this market's plateauing, can the Fed afford to do anything that could make it worse?
I doubt if the Fed will move faster than the plan that they're on, but I think the markets may move faster than the Fed.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014, Bloomberg LP.